This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to Contrast Convos. This is episode 4, where we talk about biohacking, the philosophy of biohacking, some therapeutic modalities for you to intro into your life.
And who better to describe biohacking than our good friend, Biohack Zach, the manager of Vitality Wellness Center, the best recovery center on the west coast of Florida and in the country, probably the world. Let's dive in. Here we go. Zach, you get to start in the hot.
Oh, well.
That's a big entrance. He's making splashes.
I'm gonna take bench for today, guys.
All right. I'm gonna give Zach the microphone now. Ryan, ask him good questions, okay?
That's fair.
All right. What's up, everybody?
Zach.
Mr. Billen.
Mr. Biohack Zach. All right, first question for you. Where did your passion for biohacking come from? How did you acquire the name?
So that's a great question. Honestly, the answer is a bit multidimensional. There's a few different reasons why I got into biohacking, or what I like to call health optimization. Truth be told, I really just want to unlock the best possible version of myself that exists, and also the most disease-free, mentally clear, attractive, driven version of Zach that could possibly exist. And you could actually do that through biohacking and through different lifestyle modifications.
For beginners out there, what would you...
How do you feel right now, bro?
I feel cold, honestly.
You feel cold?
Yeah.
Do you want to switch?
In a minute. I need to definitely absorb it.
I got yes. You, bro.
What would you say the central premise of biohacking is, and what are some of the main principles that biohackers use to optimize health and wellness?
Well, that's a great question. In my honest opinion, I believe hacking is just changing your external and internal environment to bring about various outcomes, whether it's improve your immune system, build more muscle, improve mental faculties, and a whole lot more. Some of the best principles to follow is what we're doing right now. Just foundational environmental changes, whether it's hot and cold, whether it is hyperbaric oxygen, whether it's hypoxic oxygen or low oxygen training. There's a lot of different ways or modalities to bring about environmental changes, both inside your body and outside your body.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. So I know a lot of people are eager to add things into their regimen, but I think, like you're saying, you can add a lot of amazing modalities, but really taking an inventory of your external environment and removing the things that are making you weak. Can you talk about some of those things that are making us weak that some people may not be aware of?
Yeah, I think toxins, but toxins don't just mean glyphosate or lead. Toxins are also people that limit your mindset to what's possible. Toxins are also light. Various changes in blue, green light can also affect skin aging, mental clarity, sleep quality, all that. I would say eliminating sources of toxins are number one, whether we're talking people or actual toxins or energetic things that bog you down.
Yeah, and I think you know that better than most from chiropractic. 3 subluxations, right? Yeah, trauma, toxins, and thoughts, yeah? I'm on my shit. Yeah, so that makes a lot of sense with the light and stuff like that. All right, so now therapeutic modalities like what we have here at Vitality sometimes can get a little costs. I don't know what the word is here.
Depending on expensive.
It gets expensive after a while. Sure. And so what would you recommend as some of the most cost-friendly therapeutic modalities that people can implement into their life.
What do I think is by far the most cost-friendly modality? Going to the beach and going swimming.
Wow.
By far. Not only are you getting minerals from the ocean, you're getting electrons from the water, from the sand. You're getting a full spectrum light exposure. And you're usually with your friends having a good time. So I would say going grounding, going in the ocean water, or just being outside in the sunlight is the cheapest, easiest thing that any of us can do. But when it comes to a daily practice, filtering your water, eating whole food foods, like real, not adulterated, no processed foods, and exercising, like all the things that we look at to be healthy, I think the exercise, environmental exposure and good water is probably the top of the pyramid or the bottom of the pyramid.
I love that. Those are super foundational practices. And just to summarize that up for you guys, as simple as going to the beach, or if you're not in Florida like us, going somewhere in nature that's a peaceful environment where you feel relaxed, going with people that make you feel good. So that raises your vibes, that increases your energy. And then being barefoot on the sand or on the grass because you're getting the electrons. So you have the grounding effect, which is very anti-inflammatory. And you get the benefits of sunlight. Now, I would add one thing to that. And you could add a little bit of a breathing practice. One of the best free biohacks that we have available to us is using the breath to modulate our physiology. Can you talk about some of your favorite breathwork tactics? Because that's a great free biohack for people, I feel like.
A lot of people get caught up on Wim Hof, holotropic breathwork.
Got a little rid there.
And it's funny, when you do contrast therapy, it's honestly the hot tub that hurts the most.
Getting back in after the cold, that's pins and needles right there.
Yes, sir. That peripheral circulation. But anyway, when it comes to breath work, I really like things that we can implement ongoing. Not like just sitting for 10 minutes doing breath work and you going about your day, but rather throughout the day, checking into your breath, taking some intentional diaphragm breaths, and also prioritizing nasal breathing. And it's actually pretty difficult to prioritize nasal breathing if you are a mouth breather. So getting mouth tape and opening up your nasal passage with an intake strip or just a regular nasal strip could be a really good practice that can help you moving forward subconsciously. Because a lot of the patterns when it comes to breathing, you could change over time through having conscious thought towards home. I'm a fan of Wim Hof. I've had some really great experiences doing that, but I find a lot more benefit through my friend Sage's like neural acrobatics, which is where you're basically really controlling the inhale and exhale. You're not getting hypoxic. Your fingers aren't curling. Your face isn't twitching, but rather super gentle, intentional breaths. All I find over the long run is likely better.
We were talking before about some of the easier ways to do it, being around your friends and having a good time and going to the beach and stuff like that, which in Florida is super accessible. And then, like we said, it's fun. Yesterday, I actually just saw a statistic that said 85% of your unhappiness is going to be involved with people that are making you unhappy. Unhappy situations, environments, and people that are causing that. And on the flip side of it, 85% of your happiness also comes from social situations,
100%.
The environment that you subject yourself to and all that. So that was just one thing I wanted to add before we move on to this more in-depth question. If you were to take me through an ideal biohacked day, what would that look like for you?
It's a
deep one.
For me, it starts the night before, getting an amazing night of sleep, consuming magnesium, glycine, having low light exposure, having your natural melatonin really high and leveraging that so you sleep really well, which optimizes your entire hormonal sex hormone cascade. But then that morning of, I'd wake up right around sunrise and I'd go surfing for about an hour or two, get the blood flowing, get the grounding, the red light and infrared light from the sun. And then I would go probably eat breakfast, probably drink some coffee. Then I would go work out with some friends. And then afterwards, I would leisure around the whole day. I would do low stress activities because I spiked cortisol in the morning with coffee, with exercise. And then at night, I would start to wind down a bit earlier. Might throw in some meditation or some sort of prayer or spiritual practice somewhere in the middle of that. But it does include super expensive technologies. Now, if you throw your back out, then maybe doing some high intensity PEMF would be appropriate, or going into a cold tub would be appropriate, but it's not necessary. These are all tools that we have at our disposal for various health outcomes, but a general day of quote unquote biohacking is just being close to nature and being around people you love.
I love that so much, just because I know a lot of people in the biohacking realm, they love talking about all the sexy modalities, the H-bot, the sauna, the cold plunge. And I think you can get lost in the sauce and it becomes another thing for you to do, but you already have so many things to do. So it's like you're saying, the perfect biohack day for human health and optimization is really doing less and being more, being around those loved ones, being in nature, really keeping it simple, getting good sleep. I know you're a huge fan of music. I want to hear your opinion on music and how it can be used to boost mood. And because I think music's a biohack that people don't talk about, and frequencies and for frequency sure. medicine. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, music is harmonic frequencies, right? These are different waves of energy. So music is an incredibly powerful tool that, or when I say music, we're talking about sound waves, right? And we are all tuned a little bit differently. For one person, a soundtrack could be extremely emotional. For another person, it could be irritating. I find that we could leverage harmonics to change different emotional or spiritual states. Now, one thing that we're starting to find is that every cell of your body responds to harmonic frequencies. They've actually, I believe, just approved the first cancer treatment that uses sound waves, a specific sound wave, to weaken cancer cells. Yeah, so, but we could also use music in many different ways. For one, exercising with music, you have somewhere around double the amount of strength, endurance, and output. I'm sure we've all been on a run before, and then you listen to a certain song, and you just fucking push through. Yeah, I think it's definitely an underutilized tool for optimizing our performance and, I guess, gaining some clarity in our emotional states.
Yeah, I'm pretty big on the sound type stuff. I just started getting into this. I ChatGPT'd actually, what's one of the most like harmonic and organizing songs? And Claire de Lune is one of the most harmonizing and coherent songs for you to listen to. And plants, the study with plants, right? If plants listen to songs that have a certain frequency to them, they double in their growth. They produce more flower when they bloom and all that good stuff. Symphony number 5, Beethoven's 5th, all of these songs happen to have an organizing effect on the body. So that's a huge thing. I actually, ironically too, just did a P wave today, which is all sound frequencies. And no, it's no joke. I was feeling throughout my body some release just by listening to music. It just,
interesting.
In a sense.
So you also just mentioned something that made me think of a therapy called shockwave.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Shockwave therapy.
Yeah,
okay, words. So
shockwave.
For those that are listening, it's basically a wand that emits a certain sound frequency that causes microtrauma in the vasculature that in the area that's being treated. And it's essentially like a four-man stem cell machine where it causes your body to recognize a trauma and to send healing energy to that area, but also it opens up the blood vessels. So it's used for erectile dysfunction and low testosterone. But it's also great for a stubborn elbow injury or a wrist, like a carpal tunnel and stuff like that as well. So
super interesting. And I think that's really underrated because there's also a lot of music that is unorganized and not coherent and doesn't actually aid in any type of healing. So on that, we get into a whole like your playlist is actually affecting you somehow,
like
some way.
Scott. Yeah, all those people going crazy and stampeding.
Sir, music is not great. Yeah. And that's another conversation for another time. But last question here, the future of biohacking and medicine for the sake of longevity, what do you think? What do you think we're going to get into as technology keeps developing?
It's here. Simply put, it's already here. It is really personalized medicine, it's using genetics, blood, various testing to write the perfect protocol for someone's specific constitution. It also involves frequency, sound frequency, electromagnetic frequency, or even photonic or light frequencies. It's really gene editing and all this crazy futuristic stuff that is on the periphery. It's on the fringe right now, but I would say the next, right now you guys can get gene therapy. that actually increases muscle mass somewhere around 25% for a couple of years. So like it turns on, I want to say it's, I don't have the word exactly in my mind, but I'm visualizing the word follistatin or
acanistatin.
It's myostatin, but it's a
myostatin inhibitors.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know the right word, so I'm not even going to say it, but yeah. It's really interesting stuff. So I would say, yeah, personalized medicine, early screening for cancer and cardiovascular issues using full body MRIs and AI and all that cool stuff. Yeah.
25% muscle mass.
It's a lot of muscle.
But you got to wonder, what are the side effects going to be of a lot of these therapies, and will we know how safe they are right out the gate?
This one seems to be pretty safe, honestly. But yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
We don't know enough about the genome.
Yeah, I feel like we're still discovering so much. We're still discovering new organs and different functions of cells and tissues and even muscles. We thought we've cut open the human body countless amounts of times, and we still find anomalies. Yeah. So it's going to be really interesting to see where things go in longevity, but I guess we can go around and talk about what we are most looking forward to as we get older and having access to these kinds of technologies and therapies. Let's start with you, Zach. What is one thing you're looking forward to doing to maintain your strength and vitality as you get older?
Can we switch tubs?
Yes. I was going to ask the same thing.
He got the ship on. Hey.
So what am I looking forward to? I'd be damned not to talk about peptides.
We can't believe we haven't asked you about peptides.
Yeah. So I think peptide therapy is really interesting, and it could be the future of a lot of things. Now, I think the biggest obstacle peptide therapy is getting pharmaceutical grade products on the market. So I'm hoping with RFK and being the health secretary of the United States that we can see some more research being spent to get this stuff approved. I'm sure it's going to be through a doctor, but it'd be nice to just walk into CVS and buy some BPC 157.
You know, that would be really nice.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to happen. But anyway, but that'd be really cool. So I'm really looking forward to the peptide space evolving, seeing what they discover. Now, for those listening, peptides are like little signaling molecules inside of your body that tell cells to do different things. So you can essentially rejuvenate a cell's function through the right peptide. And you can upregulate literally hundreds of thousands of different processes within the body. And peptides are natural. They're like proteins. They're your body knows what to do with them. So there's a really low side effect profile with them. Beyond that, stem cells and biologics are really interesting to me. Just basically using the body's intelligence to optimize the body's function. So that's really what I'm looking forward to. And it's a good time to be alive.
It is a great time to be alive. And it's funny because I was just thinking about stem cells as you were talking too. And I think regenerative medicine is really interesting, because you're using, like you said, the body's own resources to heal itself rather than trying to ingest foreign substances or things that are not natural to the body. You're extracting things like stem cells using exosomes, which are very anti-inflammatory. I recently have been looking into exosome therapy and just how potent it is, and hearing stories about how people thought they were going to have surgery, and then they just got a couple of these injections with stem cells combined with high levels of exosomes, and then their knee menisci are completely repaired and they don't have to get surgery. Like things like miracles are happening. People that had severe spinal injuries they're having regeneration of their nerves in their spine, and things that are people would, you used to just say, oh, I could only have surgery and this is the only way. So I think it's really exciting to have access to that. And it makes me want to like bank my own stem cells for my future family, because right now I feel like all three of us are at the peak of our health and wellness in our late 20s. And it's a good time to leverage the therapies and have those things stored away for a rainy day.
Yeah. Or when you have a kid, saving the umbilical stem cell.
That, yes, for sure.
It's so obscene how expensive it is, but it is worth it for sure. It's when they're the most potent.
But crazy how people just throw those things away at hospitals. They say they can throw it away. Do you think those hospitals are really throwing them away?
That's a lot of money. That
down the drain. No way. Yeah.
I'm really excited about exosomes just due to the cost. They're way cheaper than stem cells.
they're a fraction. With stem cells, you're paying $6,000 to $10,000 or even more per treatment.
Yeah.
Exosomes, you're paying $1,000 to $3,000.
So yeah.
It's like a no brainer and also potentially more effective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan?
We hit the big ones, stem cells, peptides, right? I think those are, they have a high benefit to them and there's low recoil, there's low negative consequences of that. So that's always great to find. I honestly, other than those two, I'm really interested in the sound therapy because that just seems in your head, you think that it's not invasive, right? There's nothing actually physically being done. This is more vibration and frequency. And if the frequency proves to organize and heal, that's going to be a really high benefit and a really low negative consequence.
If I could add to that. So yeah. Like, while it may not appear so, sound is physical. It is very physical, just as physical as taking a pill or doing a laser therapy. It just doesn't appear so. It's like vibration, right? But vibration can also be used negatively as well. Not that it's commonly used, but there are weapons that are used that use sound and electromagnetism and radio frequency. So it's just, I do think 2025 onward, we're going to really start to see this science start to emerge that kind of seems science fiction, like you're saying. And yeah, there's a lot of cool therapies that exist. There's a lot of cool therapies on the horizon. And there's just a lot of cool applications that I feel like it's just our imagination that holds us back from what is possible.
Yeah. 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 That's my interest with the sound therapy is I was listening to a study where they put a certain type of vibration on a tank that the same species of spiders were in. And depending on the frequency of the music, the spider would make a certain type of design in the web. It's the same spider, just different designs based on the vibration. So I'm very interested in how that kind of gets organized, right? Because if you see the shape of certain vibrations that get put out, this is where you get into sacred geometry and stuff like that, where there's shapes that are being made that are structured and crystallized in a sense from certain vibrations. So if it could be used for benefit, it could also be used as a detriment.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to see where this kind of takes us.
They call that schematic, not schematics, whatever.
Yeah, I'm not sure of the word.
Yeah.
I'm unrefined in this area, but I'm interested in it for sure.
Thank you so much, Zach, for coming on the pod. You guys, if you are in the St. Pete area, come to Vitality Wellness on 4th Street. Say hi to Biohack Zach. Maybe, just maybe, you might catch Ryan and I in the tubs, but
where you could intrude and come on in and play with their
We're going to lock the door next time. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Woo!
Woo!